wonderful, your love that never stops for us. We thank you that you've given us all things, all good things that pertain to life and godliness. We thank you, if you have your word with you, we thank you for our Bible, the word that just fills us up, pumps us up, turns us right side up, Father, for life. We thank you for this word. And I thank you for the word that's spoken today, that it'll go into hearts that are prepared. And as they get into our hearts, I thank you, Holy Spirit, you'll just bring it forth and water it, Father, so that change is going to be good. And everybody who likes change, wants change, can shout and be real Pentecostal. Amen. Amen. You know, I grew up in a denominational church that if you whispered a peep, man, some person would come with a ruler and whack the back of you. So I just think it's fun to come to church where you get to yell, yay, hallelujah, praise the Lord, without going, okay? So, you know, if I get like that, you really just should be excited. Okay, title of the message is Greater Life / Do-Over. You're going to have a greater life, you will need a do-over. And this is good. It is good. And what's kind of got me on this path, I remember several years ago I was at this friend's house who lived in York, and it was the first time that I was going to her house. And I walked in the foyer, and there's this big, what's the next size past the 8x10 photos? The big 16 by what? 11 by 14, anyway, it was big, hanging in their foyer of the woman of the house. And I thought, wow, this picture, you look amazing. Wow, was this taken when you were young, like 10, 15 years ago? Should have not said that. Foot in mouth, down the throat, and choke. She goes, oh no, I just had that done. And I'm looking, really? And then, okay, a little slow, makeover. She had a makeover. And what do they, brush, spray, whatever. But I was like, oh, wow. So I was trying to come, oh, wow, you look lovely. And then I'm looking at the, you know. So anyway, I was reminded of that. I was also reminded of do-overs when we were a kid. If you are playing a board game and your dice, just one of them fell off the ground, you're like, oh, do-over. Not because I couldn't read the floor, the dice, but you were just hoping for something better, right? And playing miniature golf, because I've only tried golf once, but I do miniature golf, and you do the little putt thing and it dribbles 2 inches, and you yell, oh, do-over, do-over. And, you know, when you're on my team, we do do-overs, you know, all over there. Okay, so then they're fun, and we like that. And today, you might be thinking, oh, baby, I could use a do-over now, today, do-over. Anybody there today? Okay. Well, today, I don't want to just talk about a do-over, and not the makeup kind and the golf thing, but I want to talk about a do-over of life and how to do a do-over. There's a how, okay? Because just saying, hey, you can have a do-over, well, I need to know how. So everybody say do-over. How many of you want a do-over? Say do-over. Now listen, if you're taking notes, number one thing to write down is God gives do-overs, okay? God, better yet, God wants you to have a do-over. God wants you to have a greater life. So God's on the team of do-overs. That's his will. That's his desire. He wants you to have a greater in your job, in your marriage, greater in your life, a do-over, all right? So ground rules number one, God wants you to have a do-over. Now, I'm not saying you'll have better pay in the do-over of your job, but what I am saying is you'll do your job better. Your job will get better with a do-over in you. Now, shucks, if I want to, you know, if you want the raise, I always take raises. I've never talked one down, okay? But really, sometimes, let me just say this. God wants you to have a better and greater life. better and greater relationships, a better, greater marriage. God wants that, okay? That's God, who he wants that. He wants do-over in you. But you know that little fine print, the fine print on the back page? I'm going to give you the fine print. To have a do-over, you have to understand that how God wants you to do it. God wants you to do the do-over with him. To have a do-over in life, you have to do it with him. Number two, to have a do-over in life, which everybody wants a do-over, sometimes a do-over day, all right? He wants you to do it with him, okay? He wants to do it with you. Him, with him, sorry. So, taking notes, God always wants to give a do-over. God wants you to do it with him. And if you've had a bad day, it wasn't God's way, all right? Because God always wants to give good. That's his nature. God is good. God is good. Man, I remember doing the preschool program downstairs. We taught a curriculum, and we could sing a song and a jingle with that for anything. God is good all the time. God is good. He made the earth. God is good. He made me. God is good. So maybe we have to go down to the preschool but to get it back into us. But God always wants you to have good, a greater life, a better life, because that is who God is, okay? So he's not saying, oh, no, I want you to have a bad life. Oh, no, I want you to have, just... Nah, 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 nah. All right, that's not God. All right, that's not God. He always wants to have a better life for you. All right, so next one is the greater life has to start with God. All right, now, how many of you have ever started a new diet, a new exercise program, or a new New Year's resolution? How many of you made it past 30 days? That's because I finally had an accountability partner. But generally, we fail. Okay, generally, we fail. And those are in the fun things of life. And they're not fun, but they're the things of life. But to have a real do-over in your life, you have to do it with God, because he'll give you his power and his ability so that you can do it over. Or it's those New Year's resolutions that don't even make 30 days, okay? So you have to do it with God. Now, if you turn with me to Lamentations, it's not a place I go often, so I'll give you a little hint. You know where Psalms is? Proverbs? What is it? Song of Solomon? Ezekiel? No, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. In my Bible, it's page 723. So, start at Psalms, work your way over, you'll find Lamentations. But if you don't want to, I'll just read it to you, okay? Lamentations. It is not a place I go often because it's a book about lamenting. Poo-hoo, okay? But it does have good things in it. And this is a scripture, because I usually pull something else, and I thought, I just want you to know that I've read the book of Lamentations this year, okay? Lamentations 3. 21, 22, 23, Lamentations 3, page 723. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, oh, I love that, we are not consumed. Because of his compassions, we shall fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Okay, now, new, did you see the word new? All right, I had fun, went to the back of my Bible, and looked up all the things that the Bible has to say about new. I want you to know God's into new and do-overs, new. A new cloth, new wine, new bottles, new tongues, new commandments, new things, new creature, new man, new testament, new babies, new heaven, new name, new Jerusalem, new songs. I'll make all things new. All right, just have fun. Listen. God wants new. God loves new. God does new, do new. Do-overs new. All right? Now, what this meant, Lamentations, it says, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. What does that mean, new every morning? I'll tell you what it means. Every single day, when you wake up, God says you have a new day. every single day, when you wake up, God says, I give you, I grant you, I will lavish you with a new day. Okay, you should do the cha-cha dance. I'm so happy. And so, oh gosh. No, a new day. God gives you a new day. Now, every morning, every day gives you a new day. So that means when the alarm clock goes off and you roll over, smack that thing, the first thought you should be is, yay, God has given me a new day, a do-over day. Oh, gosh, a do-over day. I'm gonna have you doing the do-over dance before we're done with today. A do-over day, a do-over day. Now, that means no matter what my past mistakes were, my past sins, my past, I get up, woo, every day, a new day, a new day, a new day. That's good. All right? So, now, but here's the issue. If we don't change something on the inside, we're going to have the same kind of day. All right? Now, I didn't say that God doesn't give you a new day. I said he gives you a new day every day, right? But there always is some responsibility on our part. If we don't change something on the inside, it's just going to be the same old, all right? Now, so how many of you want a new day, all right? So we're going to make some changes. Okay, change, let me give you two changes that don't work. So I can just tell you, don't even bother. Been there, done that. Write down, taking notes, two changes that don't work for a do-over. A greater day, a better day. Okay, number one, relocating. Don't work. Such as, if I change my job, change my church, change where I go to work, they don't work. Okay? Because you didn't change something internally, all right? If I want to change my new husband, change the old husband for a new one, it's not going to work. Okay? Because the problem is, again, if you don't change something on the inside, it's not going to change all the things on the outside. Okay, this was about 3 years ago. We kept having, you go down in the basement in the office there, and there was a desk in front of it. But I'd get in there, and I'd go, and my nose would itch. And I was like, So I finally got down on the floor behind the desk and started cleaning, and there's like mold on the wall. So I'd scrub that thing with everything you can imagine, and I was like, So I'm cleaning the external. And then I thought, well, there's a little window above the wall there. So I thought, well, I'll just go caulk that thing again or something. Nothing. And one day, we had water. We didn't have mold. We had water coming there. Okay, so there went the carpet, and basements should never have carpets. So I was like, what were you thinking? All right. And we finally found out. We tore out the wall. I love a sledgehammer. Tore out the drywall, and there's a pipe. And the pipe was from above where my dishwasher is, and the two pipes go down the wall, you know me and that. So what had happened is 20 some years ago when we built our house, they had a new glue on the market. Absolutely, you glue those pipes together, they're good. Well, they found out about 15 years later, okay, so that's what happened. The glue rotted out, the water is coming there, water on the floor, okay. But again, okay, this is my cute little picture so you remember. We were trying to change something outwardly. We were trying to wash the mold off that, all right? We had to fix the pipe, all right? So relocating, such as, let me think, if I want to change, I'm just sick and tired of my spouse. They are just ridiculous, pain in the yeah, and I'm just going to go get a new one. Not. God doesn't say that. Nope. Say no. Even though maybe in your dreams, okay, but no, because that's just getting rid of outside stuff. There's inside stuff you got to work on. They're a piece of work. You're a piece of work, all right? Okay, but no. And I'll give you this one because I'm the only one. No, Brenton says he prays for snow. Jim prays for snow. Scott prays for snow. Pray for snow. But let's say we had 21 days of snow, of sleet and ice. You might be considering the Gulf Coast, okay, the sunny state of Florida. And then you go, honey, pack the bags, pack the kids, pack the dog. We are out of here, and we moved down there. And, oh, it's just so nice in the winter down there. But then the middle of the summer, it's 110 degrees, and you just sweat opening the door, let alone going out the door, all right? And then, better yet, hurricane season comes. You might be thinking relocating in York, PA wasn't so bad. Okay, relocating wasn't a good idea, and York, PA wasn't so bad, all right? Okay, I'm never moving down there, y'all. I don't like the heat, all right? I go, yeah, don't, no, no, just, you can guarantee. The farthest I might move is Lancaster, okay? Okay, relocating, changing your location never works because it never satisfies what God has put in your heart. Write that down. I worked on that for about an hour this week. I had so much fun writing that. Okay, relocating doesn't work because what God put on your heart, you haven't changed. Things in your heart have to change. Things in your heart have to change. To really have a do-over, things in your heart have to change. I mean, you can try do-overs, but you have to change the things in your heart. So turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, because you know you're just read all of Lamentations, and you're so built up. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All right. Now, I know most of you could do a cartwheel with your eyes closed and say this, but look at it. Just look at it. All right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to get there too. Okay, so. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, so that what that meant is the day that I heard who Jesus was and what he did for me and I accepted him, I became a new creation, a new creature. Okay, but listen, it wasn't just that day that you became new. Every day you become new because you are a do-over. And so many times we just look at that scripture and we think, I was made new the day that I found out that Jesus loved me and paid a price for me, and I let him be Lord of my life. I mean, I got that. That was the day I became new. But guys, that new is every day. Okay? Woo! Do your cha-cha. Do it, Nance, all right? All right? Every day, every day, every day you have a do-over. Every day God grants you a do-over greater life. Oh, woo! All right, silly. Okay. Because, now listen, how does it happen? It's because of who you are in Christ and how God sees you. He sees you in Christ. He gives you this free do-over. All right? He gives because of who you are. In God's eyes, he sees you that way. You're his. He gives you a free do-over. Do-over, do-over every single day. Praise God, praise God. But again, you have to make some internal changes because if you keep doing, what was that movie? Guys, okay. Groundhog Day? Oh, yeah. They have a new one out with a Christmas Hallmark one. Peter something, something like that. But every day the guy would wake up. Every day, you know, and he'd repeat the same day. And unless you change the way you do the day, you're going to wake up. Okay, I better not do that. All right, so let me get back to this. Unless you change things internally, you'll be like Groundhog Day. You're going to wake up, and for the next 20 years, you keep doing it the same way, you're going to have the same results. Isn't that the definition of insanity, right? That's the definition of insanity. Okay, so we have to change internally, all right? Now, turn to John 10:10. Now, this is another one. I know you know this, but you have to look at it because sometimes you think you know it and it pops. John 10:10. And, you know, can I just tell you something? I've been reading this word for 30-some years, and what I'll do is I'll switch up Bibles. And I think I answered the question wrong. About a week ago, we had a visitor, And he said, "Oh, what Bible do you use?" And I could tell by the look on his face, I didn't say the right thing. I said, "Well, I use a whole bunch. I don't read the King James." Oh, man, I just answered the question wrong. Sorry. "I do read the New King James." I tried that. And then I said Amplified Message, 20th Century, J.B. Phillips, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But if you are just, you can quote these scriptures and they don't go off like lightning, grab a different Bible and just read it a different way. And just keep the lightning going in you, all right? It's just good. Okay, that's my 2 cents. All right? Throw me 2 cents. Goodness for your life. Okay, John 10:10. Now, this is a red letter in my Bible. That means Jesus is talking. This isn't Paul. This isn't anybody else. This is Jesus. And I'm going to skip down. Well, the thief comes not except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus is saying, I have come, Jesus is saying, I have come that they may have life, and they may have life more abundantly. And the Amplified says to the full, till it overflows. 20th Century says greater. So I'm going to put them all together. Jesus said, I came to give you abundant, overflowing, greater, more, better, gooder life. The last one was mine. All right? Jesus said that. That says do-over, guys. Read that again, and he says, listen, I'm giving you a do-over, greater life. Wow. Jesus said that. Okay. So how do I live the abundant, greater, gooder, best life every day? How do I do it? How do I do it? Well, let me tell you what you don't do. What you don't do is you're a person that says, well, you know, I kind of live a good enough life. I live a good enough life. I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. I'm living a good enough life. Okay? Or you're the person that says, hey, I'm born again. Back in 18 such and such, on such and such day, I got born again. All right? And I'm going to heaven. I'm living a good enough life. Wrong. Because of John 10:10, wrong. All right, John 10:10, good enough. It doesn't say, I came that you could have a good enough life. Did it say, does yours say that? No, it says, I came that you might have an abundant, till it's full, overflowing, greater, better, more life. So if you are just satisfied with good enough, everybody go, okay, not good enough. It's not the life. Now you can live that life. You can live that life. I know a lot of people that live that. Pastor D, but I don't do this and this and this. Okay? But I tell you what, it's just not the best. It's not greater. And I'm greedy for greater. Anybody greedy for greater? Yeah, I want more. the little kids even know that. Give me more, give me more, give me more. Okay. All right, so God wants you to have greater, and good enough is not it. Now, if you've been coming here, who's been coming here 20 years? 25 years? I think next year it's 30 years. We should have a party. Remind me, you can plan it. I do this planning party thing, all right? Okay, remind me, you can plan it. Some of you guys have been here from day one, okay? But if that's all it is, God's got something greater. All right? You can be here forever, but God's got something greater. Listen, if you're here and you don't know God in a personal way, I got news. He's got something greater for you. Anybody want to say amen? Yeah, all right. Okay, now, if you're here and you're like, but Pastor D, you don't know what my life's like at home. And I'm going to tell you, based on John 10:10, God has something greater. God has something greater, okay? So everybody, let's say, God has something greater. Amen, amen. Now, the number two thing that's a not, you know, just good enough is a not. And the other one is sometimes we make our greater life. Now, you notice the W-E? Sometimes we, me, I envision this greater life so big, so huge, he can't get there. All right? Because you're not realistic. Such as, I just meet you and I go, hey, you know, what's your big plans for your future? Oh, I am going to own the company, Frank tells me. And then I go, well, Frank, what you doing in the company? He says, well, I'm flipping burgers or I'm working on the assembly line. Good, that's okay, because there have been people that start there. And then I go, well, how are you going to get to this big, huge, I'm going to own the company. I'm going to own it and be the boss. He goes, well, Pastor D, it'll be supernatural. One day, the boss is going to call me in and say, hey, here's the keys. Not. You're living in la-la land, all right? You have made something so big, so huge. It's not. All right? Okay. All right. But what I really want to tell you about getting a do-over in the part that you play is it always begins with small steps. Right? Small steps. Think of another movie. Where's Bob? What about Bob? Baby steps. Okay. All right. So it starts with small steps. Now, small steps, not huge, so ridiculous, such as, I'm telling you, I am not lying to you. I had this parent come to me, and she was so excited that her son was going to finish high school and then go to college and be a doctor. Well, that's a great plan, except for this kid barely even went to school because he was cut in school, almost flunked out of school, took no college prep, didn't take the SATs or even apply for a college. And I want to go, what planet are you living on? The sad part was the kid came in my office and he repeated the same thing. I wanted to spank those parents. Listen, our kids can do anything because we tell them that. But there are some steps to it, all right? So again, now, that's easy to blame them, but we do that sometimes in our own life, all right? So you have to start taking baby steps, or small steps, okay? All right. Now, the interesting thing about my life, when I know I have a do-over and God has every morning and I can have a greater, better life and I start taking steps, most of the time, those steps are ungreat. They're just... nothing cool about it, all right? They're not super-duper fireworks, all right? Because you know what they are? The P word, preparation. Preparation. So when you're taking those small steps, you are in preparation for the do-over, the greatness that God has for everybody. God loves you. He loves you. Listen, greatness was Jesus died for you to give you a new life. So listen, God loves you. He has a greater life for you every day, always. His plans is always great, okay? But there's usually preparation, all right? And sometimes you think, this is ungreat. What? Okay, but it's preparation, all right? So how many of you hosted a big holiday at your house with more than us four no more? Okay? Do you know what we do before you all show up at my house, ring the doorbell? We clean and chop and clean and dice and clean and stir and clean and wash and clean and stir and clean and clean, and then we eat that meal in 15 minutes. You know what I just described? The reality, but preparation, all right? And there's no glory in chop, chop, clean, clean, all right? But listen, it was good. It'll be good. I haven't gone shopping yet. It'll be good. I'm going to do that. My life this week. All right. Listen, people who God had great preparation time. Anybody think of one? Joseph. David. How about on the backside of a pasture? Okay. They had a lot of preparation time. Jesus had preparation time for the glory. All right. So, hey, if he did it, you do it. All right. So, preparation time. Preparation time is everything that goes underneath that holds you up. I'd love to talk about character because that's what this is, some of it. Preparation is everything underneath that holds you up to walk in the greatness that God has for you. Okay? it's just the way it works. Everybody's looking at me. Bleh. Everybody say preparation. Hallelujah. Preparation for your greatness. Now, I'm just, because I'm looking at time here. I don't know if I can get there. Okay. So just to review, God wants every one of us, and he's always willing for us to have greatness in our life, but we shouldn't make it so big that we can't obtain it. We need to take steps, and those steps do require preparation. Okay, so let me give you some how-to steps. Anything can be done to make yesterday greater today. If yesterday wasn't so hot, you have an opportunity today to make it greater. It could be you just watch the words out of your mouth. Like I tell my kids, not every word, every thought in your brain should come out your mouth. You will have a greater day. You won't get in trouble. Okay? Being kind to somebody will make your day greater, and it'll make their day greater. All right? So you always have something to do to make your life greater. Always. Anybody agree with me? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, good. All right. Now, some things that keep us from making those changes is we have this fantasy. You know, the knight in shining armor. Like the Hollywood. They portray all these people that they're just got perfect size two dresses and muscles and, you know, like that. But really, when you meet them and you'd ever go to their house, the alarm goes off at their house, they're chugging coffee, they're scrambling to get their kids out the door, the babysitter, the nanny, and the dog, and they've got to head to the gym. They just didn't look like that. Life takes work. It takes steps for everybody. So don't go thinking, well, if I was just somebody. And a lot of people think, well, if I was just you. Heck no, one of me is enough. Heck no, one of you is more than enough. All right? So that's kind of that blinded fantasy stuff. All right? So just God has a great life for you, a greatness for you. You have to find out what it is and do it and walk it. All right? All right, just to review again, you have to begin to take steps, at least one step at a time, to the greatness. Make sure it's not so big and huge that it's unobtainable. And let's go to the Bible. How many of you know the guy named Moses? Old Testament, New Testament? Good. 10 points for this team. Okay. Old Testament. Now, Moses was a great guy, wasn't he? Matter of fact, he did, just so you know, because I want to tell you, he did more miracles than anybody except for Jesus. He had more greater miracles than any Bible character except for Jesus. So we would say Moses was a great miracle man, right? All right. Now, but let me tell you how this works with greatness. So all the things I just told you, I want you to start looking at Moses' life. Look at Moses' life. Okay, first, Moses was born in a time when Pharaoh said, I want you to kill all the firstborn boys. Anybody one of those guys? You're one of those. Anybody firstborn boys in your house? Dead. Okay. Pharaoh, who ruled Egypt, declared any firstborn Israelite boys will be killed, because he was in fear that this group of people that came to live in his nation were becoming so great and they would overthrow him. So he just decided, what do we call that word? Genocide, right? It's an ugly word, isn't it? So this is what Pharaoh decided. This is the time that Moses is living, all right? Now, kill all the baby firstborn boys, okay? So the next thing that happens with Moses is his mom is about ready to birth this baby, and the midwives were Egyptians. The Hebrew ladies had Egyptian midwives that would come to deliver. Well, you know why? Because they were going to tell the Pharaoh, and they'd have these babies killed. But you know what? God always works on people's hearts. I'm always amazed at people how God works on hearts. And so Moses' mom has this baby, and the midwife must have had a heart of compassion, because the next thing you read about is this baby ends up in this ark, this basket, right? This little baby boy, Moses, ends up in this basket down the river. Okay, you with me on the story? And over here is Pharaoh's daughter. And here comes down the river this basket. And I think she probably heard a child cry, a baby cry. I don't know, I could be, it's so funny, I could be in a grocery store and I'll hear a kid yell, "Mom!" And, you know, I know my kids aren't little, but it's just these antennas that go up, I don't know. And I swore my husband never heard a kid cry. Any of you guys like that? You've never slept through it, never heard a kid cry. Yeah, you're in trouble. Okay, so I'd wake him up. "Wake up, wake up, there's a kid." No. All right, so here's Pharaoh's daughter up here, and she hears this baby cry. She sees this basket, and she sends one of her servants to rescue this. She opens this thing up, and she goes, "Oh, cute little baby boy." Now, she knows exactly what this is. She knows. She knows her father, Pharaoh, has decreed all firstborn baby boys are to be killed. This isn't just, "Oh, we're going to see if we can put a sailboat together." She knows, right? She takes this and says, "Let's hide it. I want to hide this child till he's old enough, because my dad's going to know I'm not pregnant and I walk in with a baby," right? Okay, so she hides this baby, and he grows up, right? He grows up. Now, he grows up, and he knows his mom is an Egyptian, and he knows he's a Israelite, all right? All right now. So my story goes on here, and why does he know he's different? Because when God puts something in your heart, you can never escape it. When God puts plans in your heart, big things that make you cry, big things that you can barely breathe, just purposes in your life, you can never escape them. And I believe, this is my theory, that's exactly what happened with Moses. So, and the story goes on. Moses grows up, and he meets an Egyptian fighting or arguing, just messing around bad, just messing with this Israelite. So he sees an Egyptian, and he sees this Israelite, and this Egyptian is just messing with him bad. And he tries to break it up, and next thing what happens? He kills the Egyptian, and then he takes off, all right? He kills the Egyptian. Okay, and a couple days later, what happens is he sees two Israelites arguing, and he tries to break them up, and they go, "Hey, what are you going to do? Kill us like you did the Egyptian?" And then the next one, you know when someone just has the zinger that just gets you between the eyes? One of them says, "Who made you judge over us? Who made you judge over us?" Okay, listen up. Who made him judge over us? God did. That's the truth. Who made Moses judge over them? God did. But the problem was, Moses had the call, but he had the timing wrong. Moses had the call, but he had the timing wrong. He went and killed people, okay? So the next thing Moses does is he runs away, right? He runs because he thinks Pharaoh's going to kill him, because the word on the street is he killed an Egyptian. All right, so he runs away, and he runs away for 40 years. 40 years, and God is silent. 40 years, and God is silent. Now listen, you should be so happy you live today in the New Testament, because God can speak to you. God does speak to you anytime you want to open this up. All right? That's why I pound you. Did you read your Bible today? What did you read? Because it is so important. You live in a time where God speaks to you anytime, all the time, through this, okay? But now Moses, he was hiding, you know, ran away, hiding for 40 years, and God doesn't talk to him. And one day, God decides to talk, and he shows up. Moses is walking, and he sees this bush burning and a voice coming out of it. Now listen, I don't know about you. I'm going to be really honest. Back in the day, when I was just married and just had little kids, and if Jack were going away, and you know I'd be downstairs turning off the lights and walking up the stairs, if I heard a creepy noise, man, I'd run up those stairs, slam the bedroom door, jump in bed, put the sheets over my head, okay? And then I became a big girl, and I keep a gun underneath my bed. No lie, baby. Because you're a cashman, man. We got guns stashed all over. All right. So, okay, but really, if I were Moses and this bush is burning and talking, I would have been down the road, right? But Moses stops, gets his curiosity. Is that a guy thing? It got his curiosity. Girls were just out of there. I don't know. Moses just stops and God talks. Okay, God starts talking to him. And I lost my place, sorry. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, let's see, what does he say here? Okay, I'm skipping ahead, let's do it. All right, God says, hey, Moses, I want to use you to deliver my people. I want to use you to deliver my people. Y'all know that part? Okay, now what's Moses' response? Hey, don't you know that, God, you should know, because don't you know that I don't talk too good in front of people? And besides, I can't. And God goes, I am God who made you. I can make your mouth move. What is your problem, Moses? So you would think he'd just go, yeah, but God. I love yeah, but God. Yeah, but God, I can't do it. And listen, but God gave Moses a call. God gave Moses a call, and he wasn't going to let him off. And listen, guys, I know there's bunches of you. I actually know you long enough that I even know what you're called to do. I even know what you're called to do. All right? And stop telling God I can't. All right? Take steps. Take steps. All right? Oh, by the way, you know when Moses runs away, where does he run to for 40 years? The wilderness. Guess what the wilderness is? Preparation time. Chop, cleaned, chop, stir, chop, clean, clean. Okay, that's preparation time. If you think he's just hanging out for 40 years, doing nothing, he doesn't know what he's doing. I believe that Moses was in preparation time, and God was doing things in his heart. Because, you know, if I saw that bush that was talking, I would have been out of there, and Moses starts talking to it. He's drawn. He's got a call, all right? And this time, he's going to get the timing right. This time, he's going to get the timing right. This time, he does. He gets the timing right. Okay, so he's got preparation time going, and God starts telling him, listen, Moses, I've heard my people crying in bondage, and I have called you to set them free. You're the man. I've called you. And Moses goes again, I don't want to. I can't. All right? But I love our excuses. But God, I don't talk good. You know, I can't do this. I did that. I cried. I screamed. I gave God every excuse. Why not? Anybody ever do those with God? Yep. And finally, you just do it. And you go, it really wasn't that bad, all right? So I love God that he doesn't let us go with the calling. So God finally says, fine, I'll let Aaron, your brother, do the talking, but you are still called, and you are going to go, and I'm just going to let him come along for the ride because I'm going to use you. So that's what happens, all right? Preparation, small steps, all right? Now, guys, you can't be telling God no. You can't be telling God no. It doesn't turn out pretty. Matter of fact, 40 years in the wrong direction is not good. So I just challenge you. I can't look at you guys because some of you, I know that you've said no. And you've got to say, yes, I'll do it. I'll do it, God. the thing that you called me to do, the plans that I let down, I placed on the ground long time ago. Yes, God, I'm going to do them. All right? Because I want to do over, and I am going to walk in the greater life you had for me. So maybe if you're not in a greater life, it's not because God didn't give you a do-over. Maybe you put things down. Okay, no guilt, no condemnation. Everybody smile. Pastor D, that was fun. Yay. Woo-hoo, all right. Yeah. Oh, smile, smile. There's no one smiling out there. Okay. All right, now, things that might have to change, better yet, things that will change in order for you to have a do-over, to walk in the greater life and the calls that God has for you, things that might have to change. Last week, or really last 4 weeks, we did a series on friendships. You might have to break free, and now we said you weren't allowed to unfriend people. We said you had to redefine. If there's people in your life and they keep causing you to go back, 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 instead of forward in the things that God has for you, in the greater life, how about the good life? If there are people in your life, you might have to redefine them, right? All right? Or if there's something, sometimes we put things in our life that make us go back, backwards, backwards, instead of the life that has God has for you to go forward. So think real quick. Do I have any of the someones, or do I have some things that I need to break free of, break free of, break free of, so I can start taking steps, all right, to go into the greater life, all right? Anybody got any of those? Yeah, all right. Okay, break free, all right? Sometimes things that we have to break free of, we have to make changes that we have to do is our past. Anybody got a past? I got a past. Past, all right? And sometimes that past, even though you know that God has made you new, sometimes those things come at you, and you're just going to have to work at it. You're going to have, when that flashback comes and tells you about your past, you go, no, I'm a new creature. Matter of fact, it's a new day, and that's gone. I tell you what, I think I'd been born again a couple of years. We got married. We did 1 year up at Penn State. Then we spent 3 years in Tulsa. And basically, we moved for those 4 years, and everything was stored up in Mom and Dad's attic. And then we finally hit home base back to York. And I get to open up wedding presents that I'd stashed, you know. And we set up this cute little house on West King Street. And I'm unloading things, and I find, this is me, I find my college photo album. Okay, I did not meet Jesus until my last year there. And my college photo album had pictures. They weren't really bad that you would look at, but they were bad for me to look at. They just brought up bad, my past. And you know what I did? I threw that thing out. I threw my photo album out because God led me to do that. All right? That's me. That was part of my past that I had to break free. And every time I looked at that, it just was sickening. And, you know, and listen, I still stay friends with three of the girls. I call them up. They live all over and stuff like that. But I'm not looking at this. I don't know how many of you had a record collection that was second to none, and you got born again, and God led you to smash and burn. Yep. Okay. Now, God led you. Those are breaking free, all right? Some of us, things that we need to break free of in our past, maybe you had abuse, okay? And abuse comes in any age, any male or female, and it hurts. Anybody agree with me? Abuse hurts, all right? And the thing about abuse is that God said, I'm the healer. I'm the healer of the brokenhearted, and I am the one that restoreth your soul. So you can go to him. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 talks about going to him, letting him be all of that, and then it says that you, like me, I had to throw out the photo album, or you had to break and burn. It says you strip off everything that hinders the race that God set before you. Now, I have tried to tell my kids what they should strip off that are hindering their race, and you can do that till a certain age. And why I ever complained about the gates that kept them in my kitchen, you know? What was I thinking? All right? But you pray for your kids that God shows them, the Holy Spirit draws them and shows them the things that they're involved in is wading down the race that God has for them, all right? You pray, God, is there anything in my life that I'm trying to run this race and I've got all this weight on me? Show me what I need to strip off so I can run the race, have a do-over, have a greater life, have the blessings and abundance in my life, and be effective for the Lord. All right, so I'm not going to point fingers, but you ask the Holy Spirit. He does such a sweet job. The Holy Spirit's sweet. He'll do a sweet job of just showing you if you're running a race. You're running a race. I heard this story. This was this kid in high school, and he was on the football team, but the coach said to him, "Hey, Mikey, I want you to come out during summertime to train with the track team." And he was and Mikey was the guy that catches the football. Is that a receiver? Okay, right? Pastor, you're not so dumb the way you look. Okay. Okay, so he just thought they were going to do cute little sprints with the track team for the summer. Mikey told me this story. He said, "Oh my gosh, they would they'd rubber band those big elastic rubber bands, and someone would stand here, and Mikey would stand here, and they put these big rubber bands, and the coach would say, 'Now run as fast as you can.' Well, the rubber band only gives you about this much leeway. It's not a rubber band, what are those exercise bands, right? Okay, and by the way, do that for 10 minutes. He said, "Man, I am thinking of ways why I could just murder my coach because my legs are burning." All right. And then they took him to, and Spring Grove, I get it, because on the middle school, they have a steep slope and they have steps. And he said, "Now I want you to run up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down." So all of this was preparation, steps for football. And he said, "I hated it." He said, "But football season started. And I'm a sophomore, and they have the college recruits come, and I'm not paying any attention." And he said, "But I get a little note because I was the fastest runner." All that preparation paid off, that he was the fastest runner. And he spouted off a time. I was like, "Well, whatever." But it was really good that the college guys wanted him. He was only a sophomore, okay? Preparation. For the things that you should be passionate about, preparation, all right? Now, how many of you have God spoken to you of calls in your life? And now, sometimes you think it's up here, and it's on TV. You don't raise your hand for that. That you won't be any good at it unless God told you to do that. But how many of you have got calls in your life that just burn in your heart, all right? Anybody? You got them. I know. Okay? Y'all should have your hands up because I know because I've talked to some of you. Okay? And matter of fact, I've seen glimmers when you do start doing some things. I was like, "Oh, look at that." And then you quickly do it, drop it, and run the other direction. All right? My challenge to you is that, and I'm not going to have everybody eyes closed, let's knee down, come on up to the altar, and we're going to pray until you do it, okay? But listen, challenge. Ask God, "Lord, have I dropped the things you've called me to do?" Okay, now again, God gives everybody a do-over, all right? But you have parts to play, okay? Do-over. So everybody, do you have a do-over every day? Does it give you a greater life? Yes, all right. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your tremendous love that you, from the beginning of time, have always loved so big. And your love was so big that when Adam blew it, and we were just, couldn't help but, and we became the biggest mess ups, and that's all we knew to do, your love never failed. You promised us a do-over through your son, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you for the do-over you've promised us through your son, Jesus, for a greater life. greater life. We thank you. Listen, if you've already done that, oh God, thank you. Thank you. You've given me a greater life, a new life. And if there's anybody here, you've never said, God, I think I need a do-over. I know I need you in my life. You just raise your hand and just go, Father God, I have ears to hear. I've heard the truth, and I need a do-over in my life. I need your son, Jesus, and I have made mistakes. I am a sinner, and now I accept you as Lord of my life, and now I'm new. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if there's any of you that, you know, your job and your marriage, your relationships, your things in your life, you just got to go, I need a do-over, Lord. And I do have ears to hear, and I am quick to follow, and I am declaring this is a new great day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, stand up if you have like do-overs. This isn't a trick question. This is God, you get to exercise. Stand up if you like a do-over. Good. Go tell your friends. Have a happy week on do-overs. Amen. You're all looking like, whoa, what's she going to do? Empty your pockets. Ah, you guys are so funny.